J.R.R. Tolkien was born in 1892, and he died in 1973. At the start of World War I, he would have been 22 years of age. And when war was declared on Germany in September of 1939, he was 47 years old. In the First World War, Tolkien had witnessed firsthand the trench warfare that took place from 1914 to 1918. When at Oxford, he was an Oxford Don, and he would have seen many young men go off to war, men who would have been his students in the late 30s and the 40s. The Lord of the Rings introduced both readers and those who love film to the imaginative world of Middle-earth. And the epic struggle between good and evil is represented by these two little hobbits, Frodo and Samwise Gamgee. These are the men, or the hobbits, I should say, who advance on Mordor and the machinations of Sauron, who wants to control and dominate Middle-earth. For they have that one ring that needs to be destroyed. And in that most famous line from the first book, one ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all, and in the darkness to bind them. Although this book is not an allegory, because Tolkien hated allegory, we are drawn to think of parallels with the ring and Hitler's Third Reich. A Reich that envisioned a 1,000-year reign of an evil ideology that, like Sauron's intention for Middle-earth, would have wrapped the world in an evil dragnet. Imagine if Hitler had been victorious. What would our world be like today? And to think of Canada, a country in 1944 that had a population of less than 12 million people, and the decisive role it played, particularly on the 6th of June in 1944, what we know as D-Day. For on that day, the 3rd Canadian Infantry Division landed on Juno Beach. The assault on Normandy, which was 100 kilometers long, was the largest seaborne invasion in history. More than 14,000 Canadian soldiers landed or parachuted into France on D-Day. The Royal Canadian Navy contributed 110 warships, 10,000 sailors, and the Royal Canadian Air Force contributed 15 fighter and fighter bomber squadrons to the assault. There were 1,074 Canadian casualties, including 359 people who were killed. The Canadian assault troops stormed ashore in the face of fierce opposition from German strongholds and mined beach obstacles. The soldiers raced across the wide open beaches, swept with machine gun fire. They stormed the gun positions, and there was fierce hand-to-hand combat. They fought their way inland, and the Canadian soldiers secured a critical bridgehead for the Allied invasion. D-Day was the turning point in World War II that would lead to the liberation of Europe in 1945, and thankfully the defeat of Nazi Germany. Sir John Keegan died in 2012. He was awarded the Order of the British Empire. He was a fellow of the Royal Society of Literature and an eminent British historian. He wrote a book entitled The Six Armies in Normandy. And in this book, this is what he said about the 3rd Canadian Division. At the end of the day, its forward elements stood deeper into France than those of any other division. The opposition the Canadians faced was stronger than that of any other beach save Omaha. That was an accomplishment in which the whole nation could take considerable pride. Tolkien's concentration on unassuming hobbits whose courage and will to accomplish their task against seemingly insurmountable odds is, I think, a testimony to the anonymous soldiers who took Juno Beach on June 6, 1944. It is also a tribute to all of the soldiers and civilians who, not only on Juno Beach, but in countless other battles and entrenched evil regimes like Soviet and Chinese communism, resisted the forces of evil to the point of their own deaths. It's staggering to think that in the 20th century, over 123 million people died directly as a result of war or of their evil dictatorial governments. It is always important, therefore, for us to remember this day, and if you have not worn a poppy yet this week, I encourage you to get one and wear one between now and Wednesday. For to remember what has happened, to remember such horror and violence, is important because it is important that we praise, we give thanks to God for the valor of so many men and women who died prematurely. On such a day as this, it's good to have that parable that our Lord teaches us of the wise and the unwise virgins, because life is all about a choice. How are we going to live? Are we going to live like the wise? Are we going to live like the unwise? And one of the things the unwise do is they forget history. But to live like those who are wise is to remember. And to remember is of vital importance. In the parable, at the very heart of what Jesus is teaching is the following: that we are to live each day prudently so as to uphold the intrinsic dignity and value of every human life. For it is for that dignity, it is for that value that so many people died on the 6th of June in 1944. In the parable, Jesus is, of course, the bridegroom. And the overarching theme of the parable is that throughout this life, we are waiting. We are waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. But how we wait makes all the difference. And as we think of the parable, as we think of this Remembrance Sunday, we think of COVID-19. Now, I do not think that COVID is of the magnitude of the Second World War, but it is a great threat that requires dogged determinism. It requires a united effort to bend the curve downward as we look forward to the day when this microbial enemy is defeated. COVID-19 has robbed people of their lives, has robbed people of their livelihoods, has prevented grandparents from hugging their grandchildren, has curtailed people being able to have wedding receptions, have funeral receptions. COVID-19 has affected people in a way that there's an economic upheaval that is a generational crisis. It is a shaking in a way that we have not seen in the 21st century. And although it is different from the wars of the 20th century, it is a war. And I pray that on this day, we will be inspired by those who lived before us to first and foremost be devout and committed Catholics, but to also recognize our responsibility and role as faithful and good Canadians. Notice in the parable that there are the five virgins who have oil, and there are the five virgins who have no oil. Now, this is Matthew's gospel. What do the oil represent? Well, the works that are to light the lamps. And back in Matthew chapter 5, at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, which is all about the way in which Christians are to live, Jesus says these words: "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." The oil are the good works of the Christian. And not every Christian will live out a life that takes seriously this call to good works. But when we do, we discover with the profound teaching of the Book of Wisdom the meaning of these beautiful words. Wisdom is radiant and unfading, and she is easily discerned by those who love her. She is found by those who seek her. Beloved, COVID-19 can lead you into a slumber and into a spiritual sloth where you become careless. It can also be an opportunity for you to seek God with greater commitment and deeper perseverance. And in this passage from the Book of Wisdom, we are told that if we truly do seek wisdom, if we seek God in trying and difficult times, look what the promise is. To fix one's thoughts on her is to perfect understanding. And one who is vigilant on her account will soon be free from care. It is this kind of wisdom we want to apply when facing the war of COVID-19. It is because when we understand that wisdom hastens to make herself known to those who desire her, that we will be able to grow in knowing how to respond to COVID-19 with prudence and care. And I'm just so thankful for our Diocese of Calgary. I am so thankful for our bishop, for Father Wilbert, who have tirelessly, from day one of this epidemic, shown such commitment, such wisdom and care in how they have been guiding and directing us. But here's the other reason why we want to seek wisdom. This promise that those who seek wisdom will be free from care. What does that mean? We will cultivate an interior tranquility. Now, it's fleeting. I might experience it moments at a time. But the more I seek to understand that in the midst of this chaos, it's as we are centered in Jesus, as we seek to do good works so as to help our Canadian society, then we will be inspired by Samwise Gamgee and Frodo. For on their torturous trek to destroy the ring, they faced real challenges. But Sam and Frodo stayed united, and they were aware of a power greater than their own so that they could defeat that ring of power. The Canadian soldiers stayed united with the Allies to defeat the power of Nazi aggression and domination. On this Remembrance Day Sunday, this can inspire us to face our present threat with courage, wisdom, and solidarity, to daily rise to the challenge posed by COVID-19, to light our lamps, guided by the wisdom of God in the present, as we look forward to that day when the bridegroom Jesus will come and we will go out to meet him.